some help. You put the seed in the ground, you hide it. You bury it, put it away. And when the right conditions come, moisture, warmth, etc., it bursts open, comes out of its confinement. You know, some of us, mentally, in terms of where we should be in this world, what we should be doing with our life, we have nothing but seeds, little hard seeds, haven't even broken out of your first confinement that prevents you from having the freedom to engage the world, the material world, the air, sunshine, universe. You're confined. You haven't even got in you yet an interest to engage these things like Abraham did. He looked out into the far heavens and he wondered about those things in the sky. His mind traveled and he finally came to the conclusion that this is one system of matter. The universe is a wholeness. Though sky and earth be separated, they work together in a system for weather and other things. So he discovered the wholeness of the world, and he declared that the one that designed this marvelous creation is God. And he vowed that he would have no other God, only one God. Praise be to God. Yes. So again, coming back to the parable of human life, the plant. Some of us are like the seed, like the small seed. Some seeds will respond to the conditions of life, for the growth of life. And they will not only produce a plant and a fruit holding their seed to be fruit to be, to use again, but they will reveal their own origin. They will reveal their own identity. Like the corn. But the corn hides it too, doesn't it? You have to take the shucks off the corn to see its identity. Though it produces identity, just like you put it in the ground, but when it produces it for you to eat or to gather again, it covers it with shucks. And you know, it must appreciate this fine work. It puts fine silk on the next to the corn, and then it covers it with pup stuff. Oh, that's packaging something that it cares about. The seed is just like a plant. The parable of our life, our creation, is that of a plant. Now, that strip of grass, that stuff we walk on, cut, let weeds kill it. That grass will grow up and show where it came from. You put a grass seed in the ground, that grass ain't satisfied until it shows you a grass seed. Just leave it alone. And it's going to grow and mature, and the last stage for its growth is to show you itself. And that's the grass seed. Same thing you planted. Exactly. And it's not covering it up like the corn. It's exposed. You can see it with your eyes. All those seeds right at the top. Huh? Right in the top. Grass seeds all in the top for you to see. And it's ready to put back into the ground its life just as it received it from God. To put it back in the ground, just as it received it from God. And the scripture saying, what is the Son of Man but grass? Life. God gives us life, and he gives us this special life that I began with. It's a special life that he gives us. It ain't the life of a plant or an animal. It's the life of a human person. So he made the human person to be the fruit of life. All life. is created to bear its best fruit, and that's human beings. That's the human being. This whole world has been created to bear or produce the human being that God wants. The human being that God wants. That God wants. And once it produces the human being that God wants, it has its best caretaker. Grass never had the dignity that it got until man came into his dignity. Now grass is a carpet taken care of, and millions of dollars is made on it. Oh, it's in big business. And it's kept so pretty. It ain't never looked that pretty as it looks on the golf course, where millions of dollars is made. And high-class people come to see those fine golfers play that game. Huh? Oh, that grass have gotten into the castle, gotten into the palaces. Oh, that grass have gotten way up in the heavens. Huh? Grass! The cost of man rising up. The dignity of man. Huh? You have to wake up to the possibilities for human life and realize that a nickel is a nickel in America, wherever you find it. And all of us don't start out with any more than a nickel. I don't care how big we get. We all started out with 5 cents. But it was first a nickel. Hard. Somebody had to break it up into pennies. But nickel is hard. Hard to open up. Hard seeds to crack. But somebody batted it and made it softer. Copper, 5 red cents. Yes. Well, all of us start off with the same. Woman was walking at the well, and Christ Jesus said to her, peace be on Christ, he said, woman, you had 5 husbands, and the one you have now is not yours. But I can say that to all those people out there in the street, living for the weekend. Just living for the weekend. But they go to church on Sunday. They'll go to church on Sunday. They'll be found at the well. Once a week, they go to church on Sunday. But the life they're under, or the thing ruling in their life, doesn't belong to their nature. Because it takes them in the street for the destruction of human life, for the destruction of human spirit, for the destruction of human intelligence. And they are there 6 days and come to the well one day for an hour or so. So I can say to all of them, woman, and I'd love to call for some of those big men, muscle men, I'd like to say, woman, because the world has feminized him. If not physically, it has feminized him socially. He's not productive as a social male anymore. He's dead, feminized, socially. I could say to him, woman, you had 5 husbands. And the one you got now is not yours. And look what God has given us as religion and how important the fire is. Muhammad was asked, what is Islam? He says, Islam is structured upon fire. Bundi al-Islamu ala khamsin. Islam is structured upon fire. And, you know, we have the more refined language. We don't have the seed, and the answer is the bottom, you know? And say, belief in God, to witness God, there's God, to make prayer, to give in charity, to fast during the month of Ramadan. This is Muslim life. We have non-Muslims in here and non-Muslims in our radio audience, if they're still hanging on. If they're still on, pardon me. I shouldn't say hanging on. And the last one, the fifth one, is pilgrimage to the Holy House. To a house! All of us all around the world have to go to a house called Baytul Ula, the first home. And our scripture says the most ancient home built for mankind, all people, under God. First home, most ancient of houses. That's what we are told in our scripture. So this is the fifth pillar. So we can see the oneness of the family. See, Muslims from the north, Muslims from the cold north, Muslims from the south, southern parts of the world, of the earth, regions of the earth, and from everywhere, east and west, far and near. See them all there. You see the family of mankind. That's the fifth of the pillar. That we should come together, know one another. Lisa, our fool, that you get acquainted with each other. God has created the world and life of mankind to bring us together so we can become acquainted with one another. To know that we are to be one world order. But not just for money, for the best conditions possible for all the people of earth, not one at the expense of another, but for all the people of earth. This is the beautiful picture that man has had in his heart before he had an opportunity on the physical earth to realize it. But the natural forces, natural life, and the natural life forces has finally tied us all together. For the first time. So you say, oh, I wish I could see the hereafter. Well, if this ain't the hereafter, I don't know where it is. Hereafter? That's you American expression that didn't come from Saudi Arabia. Hereafter. Here. Huna. They would say Huna. Here in their language, in the Arab language, is Huna. Huna. Here. After. Ba'at. Ba'at means after. Huna. Ba'at. You know what that says to any Arab speaking person? It ain't nowhere but here. Huna means here. Ba'at. After. If it's somewhere else, then you got to get rid of Huna. Yeah. If it's somewhere else, you got to get rid of Huna. Here, Huna means Huna. So you say to the Arab, Huna, here. Ahem, ahem. I understand. That's what you say. Ahem, ahem. I understand. Ahem. Say, Bob. After. Then you tell him, it's up in the sky, up in heaven. Man, what's the meaning of this crap? You tell me here, now you point way up there. It is here, Bob. It means here. So explain this, you know. This is not to say we don't believe in a spiritual life and the everlasting nature of real spiritual life. It doesn't mean we reject that. But God does not only speak to us to communicate to us what is possible for us spiritually. God speaks to us or communicates to us so that we will understand from Him also what is possible for us materially. Materially. And in our religion, we are taught by our prophets that every communication from God has two main understandings. Two main understandings. One is a hidden understanding, An understanding that none get except those that God has blessed to get that understanding. He has to inspire you. He has to reveal to you in order for you to get that understanding. The other is obvious. It's for any good, sane, thinking person. Now, when God promises us eternal life, and God promises us a beautiful life, a life that will be heavenly, He says that it's a return. It ain't something that you experienced, that you never experienced before. It's not something that human beings never had. It's a return to something human beings once had. God says in our holy book, in a beautiful reading, the language is so musical, melodious, beautiful. This surah, this chapter, that I'm not going to recite in Arabic, but I love it. It sounds so beautiful in Arabic. But in English, the word says, to those souls or persons who stuck with God through thick and thin, who survived even the schemes of Satan to take them away from their God who created them, it says to them, return to your Lord. Any of you among my servants, workers, people doing something. Some of you all don't want to serve anything. You don't even want to serve yourself. If you can help it, you wouldn't even put a spoon to your mouth. You'd have a little slave doing it. Feed me. My son, come over here. Put this food in my mouth. Feed me. Where's my food? Yes. No, I'm not. No, you take this food. You just feed me. Some of us just that messed up. If we could, we'd have somebody do everything. Wash my feet. Scratch my back. Bring me a glass of water. Run my bath water and take me to the bathtub and put me in it. Wash me. Dry me off. Put me in bed. Adjust me. I'm ready to go out. Tear me out to the car. Stick me in the car. Some of us would do that. Yeah. Some of us just that fastened to that. You're just that stuck or fastened to that kind of dependency. A real human being, if he got $1 billion, he doesn't want to pay for everything to be done for himself. He wants to get on a bicycle, ride his own bicycle, get some exercise. Got $1 billion. Don't have to be out riding on a bicycle. But he's a natural human being. He's a healthy human being. His mind is right. So he wants to do these things and not have somebody do everything for him. He wants to dress himself. He wants to look at him, pull his clothes out, get his clothes. He wants to brush his own teeth. So I say, let me brush your teeth. And there are some of you from Hager. I'm talking about Western life, Western world Hager. That kind of Hager in the East. Some of you are Hager children. You want to sell yourself into slavery quick. If you think you're going to be fed every day and go to sleep comfortable, if everything will be taken care of for you by your master, you're ready to go. Boss, let me brush your teeth. You ain't supposed to be brushing your own teeth. Imam Muhammad, let me brush your teeth. Let me hold your coat. Let me hold your coat. Let me tie your shoes. Let me tie up your shoes. Imam, sit on my hat. What is all this for? You want to make me a slave like you? If I stop doing these things for myself, I'll become dependent on you. And you will become my master and I'll be your slave. You ain't going to feminize me. I can use that, feminize. You're not going to infantile me. You're not going to make me a baby, an infant. No. And some of you are ready to do that. All running up to me. Hey, man, let me do that. Hey, get away from me, fella. That's what I want to say to you. But, you know, I just don't want to be harsh. And I don't want others to see me being harsh to you. But I want to say, fool, you get on back where you came from. Until you get some sense in your head. Stop being a fool and a slave just to get a little easier, a little more ease in your life. Yeah, so if I can win the man over, he'll let me be in his entourage. I don't have any entourage. He let me drive his car, take him places. No, I won't. I drive my old car. And if I got a chauffeur, he ain't got a full-time job, buddy. In fact, I got a he gets about 4 hours a week. So don't think you will come playing that thing with me and get something. You ain't get nothing. And when I find you out, I'm looking for a way to punish you. Yeah. As soon as I find you out, I'm trying to devise a scene to punish you. But some of you don't cross my trail long enough. If you were seeing me every day, buddy, I'd put a punishment on you. Yes, human value. You should value your human creation so much, you don't want to put it down like a dog or sucking up to somebody, licking up to somebody, wagging his tail. You don't want to be that. You want to be a man. You want to be dignified. You want to respect yourself and respect others. That's what our best teachers been telling us. They come and they live, and they preach, and they die. Some of us keep what they left, what they gave us, and we live it, just as though they are still here with us. But most of us, it misses us, or gets us for a little while. Soon as they die, we forget it all. Forget it all. That's no good. So in my conclusion, we have to realize the time that we're living in. This is the end of time. And the end is not really a stop. The end is a pause. Where you just get yourself together in a better situation to go the long distance. Yes, so the world is finally shaping up for human beings everywhere on this planet, big and small, educated and uneducated, rich and poor, is shaping up for us to come into a world condition, a world that has been conditioned now to invite the smallest man and the biggest man. So look at it and see your place or find a place in it for yourself.
For more on the ministry of Imam W.D. Muhammad, call our right, Ministry of W.D. Muhammad, 1-708-798-6750. All right, Ministry of Imam W.D. Muhammad, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributors. And thanks for listening.